Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Hope everybody's doing well on this Tuesday after the holiday weekend. Some people had to work yesterday on Labor Day. Some people did not have to work yesterday on Labor Day, but everything back to normal today on this Tuesday. We've got you covered for the next 4 hours here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looking ahead to week one coming up for the Tennessee Titans against the Arizona Cardinals. The Vols back in action against Pittsburgh as well. So we've got a lot to get to today here on the show. John Glennon at 8 o'clock from Broadway Sports and Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel coming on at 9 o'clock. Joe Rexroad. How we doing? What's going on this fine fall-like Tuesday morning? It's a little cold this morning.
Yeah, not doing very well. Probably going to be crappy this show, so I just want you to be just ready for that.
I'll bring my egg.
And I got screwed over in my fantasy draft, and I typed out the F-word probably more times than I've typed out the F-word in that short a period of time in my entire life. Other than that, great.
I feel like there's some shenanigans that's going on in this league. You must have really made an impact on these people in the Titans Media League last year because they're changing draft times to try to get you off your game. Then all of a sudden the draft starts and they're messing with the way things go. I mean, you really have landed some blows last year with your dominant victory that
yeah.
you had.
I mean, I must have really got under some people's skin, which is good. But actually, you know, I mean, I should feel good about that. But I've never been, I don't know. You tell me, have you ever had auto draft picked for you?
No.
As a setting?
I have not.
Yeah. Okay, well, I did.
What platform do y'all use to draft?
This is ESPN.
Okay.
So, I mean, again, I've done a million ESPN drafts.
Sure.
So I had the second pick. Kaharski had the first pick, and I flipped away for a second, and I flipped back. It was 9 o'clock. Like, okay, here we go. And my pick had been made for me. And I was like, what?
So I know. Okay. So that means the clock didn't even run out. If you were on auto draft, it went from Kaharski's pick to yours, took about a second and a half, and made the pick for you.
Well, maybe. Yeah. I mean, that's possible. I mean, apparently he picked right at the very...
He's ready to go.
Yeah. So then, you know, because, I mean, again, I had a flurry of like, you know, and then, you know, return. F-bomb. There's some people in there that, you know, like I like to scream at anyway. And
sure.
Then there's some level-headed people who are like, well, you know, Kaharski picked right away. Actually, you know, the GM or the commissioner was like, you want me to pause it and start the draft? I'm like, no, let's just do this.
I'm going to win anyway.
You know what I should have done is just gone to bed. Said, you know what? Auto-draft my whole team. Good night. And I'll still beat you all, but whatever.
So who did you end up with the second pick?
I got Dalvin Cook.
Okay.
And I probably was going to take Derrick Henry. It's a PPR, you know, PPR.
Sure.
Dalvin Cook may end up better, but I just think Derrick Henry's going to have a lot. You know, one thing I realized last night going through this, because I had a chance to take A.J. Brown and did not take him. I don't know if you remember who I took, but I guess that would have been the third round probably.
Yeah.
Like the only thing I'm really confident with in the Titans in terms of fantasy is that Derrick Henry's going to get a lot of touchdowns. I mean, yeah. And I think a lot of yards, but it's hard with the pass catchers with the Titans. I don't know. It's hard to project exactly how it's going to go.
I had a draft last night too, and I did not have a third or fourth round pick because of trades made the previous year in an attempt to go for it, which, by the way, did not work out. But in the fifth round, I got Julio Jones. I don't know what to think about it. Julio in the fifth round, which normally, like, if you get Julio Jones in the fifth round, you're like, oh my gosh, how'd that happen?
Right. I mean, that's the lowest probably ever.
Right, exactly.
Of his entire career.
But he was there, and there was, you know, a couple of other receivers there and, you know, some on-the-fringe running backs. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to take a chance and say Julio has a big year. And if he does, I look like a genius. If he doesn't, I look stupid for taking him in the fifth round. We'll find out.
Yeah, it's just hard to know. I will say that in the little – brief window of practice we saw yesterday, I mean, he looks fast. He looks explosive.
Yeah.
He looks he's not restricted by anything. He's not wearing anything. So, starting out here, he looked like Julio Jones to me.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Tim from Lewisburg texting in. I hope this happens to Rex Road tomorrow night in our Robbie and Rex Road fantasy football draft. So if it happens tomorrow night to you and you're on auto draft, one of two things is happening. Either the conspiracy is really in or you are just struggling over there with your settings before the draft. I think we'll know the answer to that question tomorrow night.
What's the thing? Like, I don't touch my settings. So
I promise I set everyone on normal draft. We are not no auto draft.
That's right.
Show, so
can't
I
be
got
blaming
you,
Michelle.
Okay?
That's so weird. I mean, yeah. Well, that's. I mean, like. Sorry, I'm plugging something in before my computer shuts down.
That's a good call.
That was very important. So that's the thing. As a commissioner, you know that if someone was on auto draft, wouldn't that have to be, it would either be picked by me or by the commissioner.
Yeah.
Right? So the commissioner, it's a conspiracy.
Shenanigans.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
Trent texting in. I got screwed also. I did two drafts and ended up picking last in both of them. Tough luck of the draw for Trent and Dixon last night.
Picking last can be great.
You can double dip in the snake draft, right?
Yeah.
So you can be last and then be the first and second round. Sometimes I prefer that.
Picking last. Honestly, I don't love. I mean, it depends on the year. You know how it is. Like sometimes there's just like two or three people. But a lot of. I mean, how many years do you think this is what it is, and then it's totally different anyway. I like the late picks.
I just want to know. Like there, I know people that have drafted in their fantasy league like 2 weeks ago, and I just don't understand that. Like, what do you do if? You know, I realize it's the NFL, and somebody can get hurt at any time. Like, somebody could get hurt that you just drafted yesterday and practiced today. So, I get it.
Right.
There's always a risk. But don't you want to minimize that risk as much as possible? Why would you draft 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, draft right before the season.
Yeah.
So as we're doing tomorrow.
As we're doing tomorrow.
Also, we have some fun names on there.
Do we?
The people who've registered.
I guess I need to
already.
Do that. Probably need to come up with a name.
Are we on ESPN? Is that right?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah, well... Man, that's the first thing I'm going to look at, the settings.
See if you're on auto draft.
I mean, not that I don't believe Michelle, but, you know.
Maybe I'll switch it right PTSD, before.
Yeah.
That's right. Anything in particular you took away from Mike Vrabel yesterday as the Titans begin game week against Arizona? He talked about the right tackle position, obviously asked specifically about Arizona as well and some of the challenges that they bring to the table. Anything in particular stand out from Mike Vrabel at his media availability yesterday?
Not a ton. Yeah, I tried to ask, you know, if David Questenberry is the right tackle, and he wouldn't commit to that. It does seem like he's the odds-on favorite. Actually, Vrabel made it sound like, you know, because they don't have Nate Davis and Ben Jones back, that maybe, you know, that people are moving around just as they practice.
Yeah.
So I suppose Lamb and Sombrilo could get in there, but it just seems like Questenberry is that guy. And I'm trying to You know, I mean, I was hoping, again, that Jared would show up and ask him about trying to get into a fight with Tom Herman.
Yes.
That did not happen. So, yeah, it wasn't especially eventful with Vrabel. Team captains happening Wednesday. You know, it was...
Think Ryan Tannehill be team captain?
I think so.
Kevin Byard,
yeah. Tannehill.
Derrick Henry.
Was Derrick Henry a captain last year?
I don't think so. Well, he didn't wear the C. Does that mean anything? They got a lot of C's floating around out there.
Those guys were actually wearing C's?
At one point, I think. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that whether he was or not.
Maybe that they removed that. At one point, captains in the NFL, they wore a C on their jersey.
I've seen it. It seems like it's just team specific.
Yeah.
I've seen some teams do that, but it's not like the NHL.
Where it's across the board. Yeah.
I do think Derrick Henry, like if they have four captains, probably be Tannehill, Byard, Henry, and gosh, I don't know.
You try to even it out, go two on the offensive side, two on the defensive side?
If you're not trying to even it out, you could even go with A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
If you are trying to even it out, I don't know. Is Jeffrey Simmons ready for that? I mean, you know, Rashawn Evans talked yesterday, and it was a good reminder of, like, Rashawn Evans has those traits.
Sure.
You know, like Rashawn, but the problem is, it's just, I mean, this may be his last year, and it's just like you have to play at a certain level to get that distinction. But Simmons, possibly, you know, a guy like Bud Dupree is like a captain kind of guy, but he's just brand new, so... So I guess that'll be interesting. But, yeah, you know, basically Caleb Farley, he's got to work his way into a role. No, you know, no surprise there. I think everybody, including Vrabel, including all the people asking Vrabel questions, ready to see them play.
I would say so at this point. Michelle, what did you think of that Ole Miss-Louisville game last night? Turned out pretty well for you.
Listen, L's down. I just tweeted at you all. See, the Ole Miss players are even doing L's down.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is this going to be a thing that gets penalized and stuff? I mean, everybody freaks out about the horns down.
They probably will.
Everyone hates Louisville, so it's fine.
So,
a lot of targeting penalties last night.
Yeah, a lot of targeting and just, boy, Louisville, not good.
They are not good.
Joe, you said it right.
Louisville. I'm working on it.
Louisville.
Yeah.
43-24, the final. Ole Miss, the winner last night, with no Lane Kiffin on the sideline. He was doing interviews from Zoom, from his house. So, good stuff from Lane Kiffin last night.
Yep. Said, you know, I think he was like, well, maybe I should just get COVID for the whole year.
Yes, those were, I tell you what, the uniform matchup, I liked Louisville's uniforms. Those baby blue Ole Miss uniforms with the light blue helmet. That's good stuff. They looked good last night.
They did.
One mute.
Tell you what, I'll have about 11 today. Yeah, they did.
They
I
did.
Agree.
Looked very good. When we come back, there are some predictions out there for the Titans, and I've seen a wide range, but there's one in particular that I saw last night that, if it transpires, could mean the Titans have one of the greatest seasons in NFL history. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Stanford versus Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt Stadium on Saturday, September the 18th? Well, if you do, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter to win your way into the game. One winner will be chosen on Monday, September the 13th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Joe, as you know, it is preview/prediction season in the NFL, with week one underway starting on Thursday night as the Buccaneers host the Dallas Cowboys. And we'll have our very own previews starting today with the AFC North and the NFC North coming up next hour, beginning at 7:30. But there's one prediction that's out there from Titans wire on USA Today that I think, if it comes true, should get Titans fans very, very excited. And, Joe, there's a lot here in this piece on Titans Wire on the USA Today Network. Mike Moraitis is the author of this article here. And we'll just begin by the first bold prediction from the Titans Wire USA Today crew. Derrick Henry will rush for 2,000 yards. And not only will Derrick Henry rush for 2,000 yards, he will win league MVP. So Derrick Henry, according to this prediction on USA Today, will rush once again for 2,000 yards and will also win the NFL MVP award, which he did last year, rush for 2,000 yards. He did not quite win the NFL MVP. That's a pretty good, that's a pretty spicy one right there.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's optimistic.
Look, I'm not saying it's crazy or out of the realm of possibility to suggest that he could run for another 2,000 yards.
No, you got another game.
Yeah,
sure.
There's another game.
You got another game. You got a star on the outside to make the offense more difficult to deal with. I've heard some people say, I mean, Henry's going to have a bigger year because of this. I don't think so, but that's not crazy.
The MVP stuff, I don't know. That's the running back position. He'd have to do a whole lot.
Well, if he's past two Bills and they are great, then it's possible.
Sure.
I can't remember anything from last year. Who was the captain? Where did did he have some kind of voting in the MVP?
I think he was like fifth or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he got some votes. He got some not first place, but some votes. Yeah. So, okay. That one's fine.
It's all right. The next one on Titans Wire, the Titans will have three, not two, but three 1,000-yard receivers. So A.J. Brown and Julio Jones obviously are two of those three 1,000-yard receivers. The article also mentions Josh Reynolds maybe as a possibility, Anthony Firkser as a possibility as well. So not only will Derrick Henry rush for 2,000 yards, but the Titans will also have three 1,000-yard receivers.
So this is bold predictions, of course.
Correct.
So bold predictions, you know, aren't necessarily like, I absolutely believe this is happening, right? I mean, I hope not. Like, if all these things happen,
like, we're not even done yet.
Oh, I know, but this is the greatest team in the history of football. Yes. But I think if you're going to make a bold prediction like this, then you need to pick the third receiver. So he's saying someone else will just grab 1,000 yards,
right,
too. That's silly.
Ryan not,
I mean, Josh Reynolds has barely played in the preseason. Be him or Firkser. Why can't it be him and Firkser?
Just have four.
Yeah.
Well, it also says Ryan Tannehill will break the Titans' single-season passing yards record, which I will tell you, if he has three different 1,000-yard receivers, I'm pretty confident he's going to break that record.
That'll easily happen. I mean, how many – like, is the opponent ever getting the ball? So Derrick Henry is getting – are they going to onside kick every time they score?
I don't know.
So Derrick Henry's going to go for like 2,300, and Tannehill is going to throw for 4,500. You're going to have 3,000-yard receivers. That's
a lot of offense,
man. They should
be
pretty good. They don't even need a defense.
But luckily, to your point, they're going to have one because the predictions roll on here on Titans Wire. Elijah Molden will win Defensive Rookie of the Year. So Elijah Molden, the selection here to win Defensive Rookie of the Year.
My question to that is, when's the last time a slot corner won Defensive Rookie of the Year? I mean, look, if he's got some pick sixes in him,
yeah,
you know, like picks off Patty Mahomes and brings it back or something
a couple times.
But that's a tall order. That's a tall order.
The Titans will finish top five in sacks. So go from 19 sacks a year ago to top five in the league in sacks this year.
I mean, I guess like if you score a touchdown every time you have the ball, which this team will do, apparently, then I guess you're going to have teams that are just constantly
got to be throwing.
You pin your ears back. Oh, they're just throwing all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all adding up. Sure.
And then you factor in. Sense. That's right. You factor in those previous five bold predictions that have been made. And they lead to this, which I would hope that they would after all five of those.
Yeah.
The Titans will win the Super Bowl. That is the final bold prediction from Titans Wire on the USA Today network. The Titans will win the Super Bowl. So
that's the least outrageous prediction of them all.
So when you factor in everything that's been predicted here, Derrick Henry, 2,000 yards and an MVP. The Titans having 3,000-yard receivers. Ryan Tannehill breaking the single-season passing yards record for the Titans. Elijah Molden, Defensive Rookie of the Year. And the Titans finishing top five in sacks. That leads to the ultimate culmination, Joe Rexrode, of a Titans Super Bowl victory.
Yeah, it's an undefeated team, right? By the way, so the franchise record. So Tannehill has the Titans era record, 38 last year, but the franchise 46-90.
That's a tall order.
That's a big number. Warren Moon 91 run and shoot. Yeah, that's a big number. Man, well, hey, you know what? This is the week. This is the time. This is the time for things like this, right? Just totally unbridled enthusiasm. Look at all the things that could go well. And then, like, after the first three and out, you know, on offense, and the first third and 12 they give up to Kyler Murray Sunday, yeah. It's just scrap the season.
Yep. It was I would say that this is the most optimistic bold prediction or predictions of the Titans that I've seen.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to top that one.
Well, Super Bowl's optimistic. Henry, 2,000 optimistic. You know, Tannehill, that's optimistic. The top five in sacks, Molden and
3,000 yards
are just so dumb. I mean, come on. But hey,
you don't have a lot of confidence the Titans could get three receivers at 1,000 yards?
I mean,
I've got confidence they can get two.
That's incredible. I think they could get two, yeah. And I still have my doubts. But I could see both of those guys getting there.
I mean, they basically had two a year ago. Basically.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah, no, they're not getting three. Firkser's never going to have 1,000 yards in a season. Firkser's a nice player. I mean, I think he could get, like, 600 yards.
If they have three, it's going to be a heck of a season here on this show. Be a lot of excited Titans fans.
Yeah, well, hey, I will say that the number three receiver on this team, I've said it for a while, like, that's a great job. So if Josh Reynolds is healthy and is the number three receiver all year, and by the way, Josh Reynolds yesterday was running well, so that's a good sign for them.
That is.
But he will have some vertical shots, you know, make some big plays. But, man, I mean, and how often are you having the ball for like 44 minutes a game? I mean, yeah, you can't do all this stuff. But I like it, though.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chad texting in. I've been saying this for months. The bold prediction, the Titans win 7 games at most this season.
Now there's one.
So we've gone from one end to the other.
This is who on the text line?
Chad.
And Chad's a fan of?
I don't know.
I'm going to guess the Colts. Let us know, Chad. 7 games at most. So they're going to be 7-10. Just imagine if that happens.
If they go 7-10?
Yeah.
That will not go well around here. What's the floor? And you know, postseason success, obviously, different part of the conversation. But regular season wins. What's the floor for Titans fans to be happy? I mean, it's whatever it takes to...
The floor to be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are Titans fans 11 happy last year. Yeah, are they happy at 10-7? Like, does 10-7 win the... I think the floor is winning the division. So I thought, like, if you went 10-7, and let's say the Colts did too, but you beat them in a tiebreaker and you win the division, I think that'd be acceptable to a fair amount of people, but you're still talking about 7 losing Sundays for a team with this kind of hype.
Yeah.
I think I might answer that 11. Yeah. 11-6. So, it's high expectations.
Sure.
Again, it should be.
Absolutely. When we come back, speaking of high expectations, there are more bold predictions on the table, this time coming from ESPN.com, including an interesting piece on the Titans as well from Teron Davenport, friend of the show. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Got a brand new location in Mount Juliet at 11400 Lebanon Road, Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says the floor is 9 or 10 wins with the extra game. My guess is 12, and I predicted the last four Super Bowls. I don't have the receipt, so don't ask. Go Bears. There you go.
There's a lot to unpack in that text.
Yeah, there is.
I believe you, though.
Ron saying the floor is the AFC Championship game. You got to get there to the very least in my book.
But your question.
But we're talking just regular season.
You said regular season only. We're not talking postseason.
Yes. We'll get to the postseason stuff a little bit later in the week when it comes to our season predictions for the NFL. So don't worry, Ron. We'll get you covered on the postseason part of this. But just floor of regular season wins for this Titans team, which, by the way, you look at their schedule. They've got some intriguing games this year. I mean, the first two, Arizona-Seattle, it's pretty tough. First two going outside of your division going out west of Seattle for the NFC West, Arizona coming here. Got some tough games this year for
the
Titans.
And then the Colts.
And the Colts.
The Colts right after that.
You got the Chiefs coming up on the schedule as well. There's some big-time games for the Tennessee Titans this year, including Matthew Stafford and the L.A. Rams, Sunday Night Football.
That's right. Yeah, you win your division, and you're going to have a tougher schedule. So I think I've done it. I guess I need to do it this week again, go through, game by game. But I feel like – I mean, I feel like 11 is it's a fair expectation.
Especially with the talent they've got on the field. I think that's absolutely a fair expectation. So ESPN.com, we talked about the bold predictions coming from Titans Wire from USA Today in the last segment. This segment, ESPN.com coming out with some bold predictions. We'll start with the Tennessee Titans. Our band Teron Davenport saying his bold prediction on ESPN.com, wide receivers A.J. Brown and Julio Jones will each reach 1,000 receiving yards, and running back Derrick Henry will rush for more than 1,500 yards. So not quite going to 2,000 TD, but 1,500.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good prediction.
Yes.
It's not outrageous. It's not like super, super bold, but I think it's achievable, and it would still be impressive.
And TD's breakout candidate for the Titans, Amani Hooker, which I'm very interested to see how Amani Hooker performs this year in the starting safety position. Obviously, Kenny Vaccaro's been in there the last couple of years. Hooker had a good season a year ago coming in as a reserve and, getting some start spot duty every now and then because of injury to Kenny Vaccaro. But a full-time starter this year for Amani Hooker, he's shown that he's got a knack to go find the ball. I'm interested to see what he looks like this year in his first season as the full-time starter back there next to Kevin Byard.
Yeah, so am I. I looked good in camp, and that's good. Vanderbilt is a good example whenever you want to talk about, how camp things look. And I know that they're on a totally different plane here than what we're talking about, but it's just with that whole secondary to me, I feel like they have looked good. They've played well. They've played well daily against this offense, but this offense largely without Julio Jones, A.J. Brown in the field. So DeAndre Hopkins is coming, Those Seattle receivers are coming. I think last year it probably wasn't talked about as much because there were so many other issues. But I think – Kenny Vaccaro is one of those guys that just took a little bit of a step back last year, and I think step back in speed, started to slow down just a little bit. I think you could probably say the same thing about Malcolm Butler last year, too. So Amani Hooker, obviously a younger guy coming in there, and it's a great – this is like exactly what you want to do when you're building a football team, is find a guy like that in the middle rounds who you can develop, and then he's ready to be a good starter for you. But is he going to be a good starter? I don't know. I mean, I think that's a good choice by TD, but it's still so up in the air on like what happens on those 17 Sundays.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, being a Titans fan has taught me to never have high expectations.
Well,
some ghost of Christmas past.
I love, like, again, when I hear things like this, it's a great reminder. Like, let me tell you something. It could be worse. Appreciate what you have, okay? There are other fan bases in this league that can say that for decades and decades and decades more than you can say that.
Is there one particular that comes to mind?
Well, yeah, but they're not the only one. By the way, I think I got a lion last night. Who'd I get? Oh, yeah, I got Jamal Williams. Yeah.
It's not a bad pick.
I got a lion.
Yeah, there you go.
So, pretty excited.
Who doesn't
about
want
that?
You get load up on Detroit Lions on your fantasy football team. That's my advice to people in our Robbie and Rex Road draft. Get as many Lions as you can.
Well, speaking of the draft, so last night I had a choice of Matt Stafford or Joe Burrow. And I, as my quarterback, and, you know, it was middle rounds. I went, and Brennan's like, you got to get Stafford. I'm like, but they're going to be good. I mean, I think Stafford will have big numbers on that, but Joe Burrow, they're not going to be very good, and he's good.
He's got really good receivers, too.
He's got good receivers. He's going to be throwing all the time. So, anyway, I went with Burrow. Well, that's right. Yes.
They can keep him upright this year.
Yeah.
They were not very good at that a year ago. But it's all sorts of bold predictions on this piece by ESPN.com, including the Buffalo Bills winning the AFC. And what they've done here is they've done every writer that covers – for their team for ESPN.com had made some bold predictions. So there are multiple, hey, so-and-so's team is going to win the AFC. Like, you look on here at the Green Bay part of this, and Rob Domofsky has selected the Packers to win the Super Bowl. So, like, Aaron Rodgers is going out on top, apparently, with a Super Bowl victory.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not out of the realm possibility.
No. I mean, they're definitely top five in the league, right?
Oh, I would say they're top five, for sure. But I agree with you from what you said yesterday. The NFC, what is there, two or three teams in the NFC that you feel good about being legitimate Super Bowl contenders?
I mean,
AFC, it's deep, man.
Yeah. I mean, Tampa Bay, Green Bay. I put the Rams there, but not everybody does.
Right.
Actually, I feel like the 49ers are going to have a big, big comeback this year. See that so often in the league. You know, team lose the Super Bowl, and then you have bad luck the next year, but then it's still like the same, roughly the same team that made the Super Bowl 2 years ago, if they're healthy, that defense. So, you know, I guess if you count them as legit, then it's four. And what does the AFC have that are actual contenders that most people would agree on? Now, that's the thing. The Titans, I would say probably fewer agree on that than think they are contenders.
There was somebody
Peter King, though,
NFL.com the other day. They came out with a list that had the Titans seventh in the AFC.
Is that right? So that's a little low. Peter King had them third.
Yeah.
But everyone agrees on the Bills. Everyone agrees on the Chiefs. And then you just have a really good kind of like second tier of any of them could rise up, including the Titans, the Browns, the Ravens. And there's a lot of love for those Chargers.
There's a lot of love for those Chargers, which I'm glad you brought that up, because on the list here for the bold predictions on ESPN.com, number one, Justin Herbert getting a lot of love this year in the preseason. So we'll see whether or not he can live up to that. But the bold prediction from Shelly Smith, who covers the Chargers: the Chargers will make the playoffs and maybe win the division title. What does that mean? Maybe win the division title?
Yeah, you can't. That can't be the bold prediction.
No.
The bold prediction is that they're going to shock everyone and beat the Chiefs. Or just don't even mention it. Maybe. No. They're not, by the way. They're not beating the Chiefs
in that division.
Yeah, no.
That's a lot of high expectations for that team. Look, I get it. They've got a decent roster, and I like Justin Herbert. I don't know that I like Justin Herbert to the level that everybody else in the NFL appears to like Justin Herbert, but I think he's a good player. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. But they're a very sexy pick this year to do some damage in the AFC, and I just don't think I'm there yet with the Chargers.
Well, it's funny. We were having this discussion. Teresa Walker and I were having the discussion on the practice field yesterday about the Chargers, and she's like, Justin Herbert, you got to show me more. And I do agree. like Shil Kapadia and some of these people who are bullish on the Chargers. I mean, there are a lot of stats that are like, you look at this, and then like the bad luck stats,
yeah,
the end of game, close game, everything. Like it was astounding that their record was what it was last year.
Yeah.
And some of that was coaching. So I get like they look like that team that's primed for the bounce back, and they have a good roster. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they make the playoffs, but like, yeah, I think people are talking like 13-4, and I don't know about that. Herbert is, yeah, I think he's good. Is he great? I'm not willing to go there yet. Yeah, I mean, I'm not either.
When we come back, we'll continue to react to this list on ESPN.com, including a couple of really high expectations for two rookie quarterbacks in particular. We'll get to that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-102. Don't miss the 2021 Middle Tennessee Highland Games and Celtic Festival Saturday, September the 11th at Percy Warner Park. A fun-filled day full of Celtic games, children's activities, Celtic music, food, Scottish and Irish dancers, local and regional vendors, and much more. Tickets are on sale now, and you can visit mid10games.com for more details. That's mid10games.com for more details. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So obviously, Joe, last week here on the show, we talked about the New England Patriots and their decision to move on from Cam Newton. Mac Jones will be the starting quarterback for the Patriots, and the bold prediction from ESPN.com for the Patriots is Mac Jones will win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Offensive Rookie of the Year from Mac Jones. And we know this coming from Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for ESPN.com. We know the Patriots, they're going to run the ball a lot this year. There's going to be a lot of play action involved. They've got the two tight ends that they brought in with Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. So it's not going to look like your typical NFL modern-day offense with wide receivers streaking all the way down the field all the time. But Mac Jones, he looked good in the preseason. Bold prediction is that he will win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I could buy that. You know, you just automatically, for those awards, look at quarterbacks first. I think Trevor Lawrence will have a lot to say about that.
I do too.
But I think if Mac Jones is good and the Patriots make the playoffs, I think that Trevor Lawrence could have way bigger numbers and Mac Jones could still edge him out for that. That will be interesting because I do think Trevor Lawrence will have big numbers because, again, bad team, good player, pretty good receivers. He's going to be throwing a lot against soft zone defenses in a lot of fourth quarters. So he's going to have numbers. And then, you know, if they pull off a couple upsets, say against the Titans or somebody, you know, that'll help his case. The number one pick, I think, has an edge already because there's so much attention on the number one pick. But I don't think that's a bad thought. Again, Patriots to me would have to make the playoffs, and they could. Good D, loaded up at tight end.
Yes, they are.
I almost took both Jonnu and Hunter Henry. I didn't take either one of them, but I'm thinking of everything in terms of fantasy drafting now, since it's fresh in my brain.
I'll give you a dark horse candidate, and I don't know how dark horse this guy is because everybody knows he's really good, but I think Najee Harris is going to get used a lot in the Pittsburgh offense this year.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously it's a quarterback-driven league, and the quarterbacks are the favorites for these awards, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Harris have a pretty big year for Pittsburgh.
He's a great non-quarterback candidate. And by the way, boy, did he go high in our draft.
Oh, yeah. Went high in mine, too.
Which, hey, I mean, he's coming in, and we saw him play last year. I mean,
he's unbelievable.
The guy is really good. Yeah, that's a good pick. I'm trying to think of other non-QB. You know, you got Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Potentially, which would be great for me. So,
little Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, Waddle,
Devontae Smith,
any of those guys.
We've named a lot of Alabama players so far.
Yes, who played on the same team together,
yes,
too, by the way. So But yeah, I think Mac Jones. I actually watched more New England Patriots preseason football than I would have cared to watch, but I thought he was pretty good.
Our buddy Michael DiRocco, who covers the Jags for ESPN.com, his bold prediction is Trevor Lawrence will set the rookie passing touchdown record. So the rookie passing touchdown record for Trevor Lawrence.
Which
and look,
is?
They're going to throw the ball out. And you know what? I believe it's right at 30, maybe 31. There's only been, I think, one that's gotten to 30 as a rookie.
Well, that's not a bad pick because, again, he's good. They do have pretty good receivers.
It was actually Justin Herbert last season with 31.
Okay.
There you go.
Two a game. A little less than two a game, and you can break the record. They're going to be in a lot of games, I think, where they're losing. Also, what about Kyle Pitts as a offensive rookie of the year?
I'd say that's a
possibility.
That could happen.
I mean, you know, it's probably going to be quarterback. You know, if Justin Fields comes in week three, which is about as late as it should be, that could be fun. That could be interesting.
Well, we know how well that organization handles quarterbacks, so
yeah,
I'm sure it'll be by week three.
Yeah, exactly. Zach Wilson. You know, if the Jets are not putrid, not just abysmal, and he has big numbers. I mean, he is playing in New York.
Yeah.
He is throwing to Corey Davis.
Elijah Moore.
So, but, I didn't tell you, by the way, who I will draft every chance I get.
Rondale?
Yeah, you better believe it. And what about him?
What round did you get Rondale Moreland?
It was pretty late. Okay. Yeah, it was probably, we had 16 rounds. It was probably the 13th or 14th
That's
round.
Pretty good.
But I was like, yeah, I'll take a flyer on Rondale Moore. I like taking flyers on rookies late in drafts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, yeah. So let's not exclude Rondale from this discussion.
That's right. We can't do that. The Cowboys one was very interesting to me. And this comes from Todd Archer, who covers the Cowboys for ESPN.com. His bold prediction is Ezekiel Elliott will lead the NFL in rushing. Ezekiel Elliott leading the NFL in rushing. Obviously, Derrick Henry has led the league in rushing the last couple of years. Dalvin Cook was very good a year ago as well. Zeke, not so much since he signed that new deal down there in Dallas. The bold prediction is Ezekiel Elliott will lead the NFL in rushing.
That would be great for the Cowboys. That would be huge for them because, one, it means he's healthy all year. Means he's got his game back, and it also probably means that they are good. I mean, that would give them balance in their offense, and I love their, you know, their passing. I love their pass catchers, so I don't see it happening.
He ran for 979 yards last year.
Yeah.
So he was over 1,000 yards behind Derrick Henry last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly qualifies, I think, as a bold prediction.
That's a bold prediction,
yeah.
But it is one of those bold predictions that, I mean, who knows? When DeMarco Murray came in here in 2016, he was washed. You know, no one thought much of that. I mean, around here, I think people did, but it was like, eh, look at what happened in Philly. His best days behind him, and he was the best back in the league until he got hurt that year.
Sure.
And he still played, but he was the best back in the league, so. Zeke's probably got some juice left.
Well, the thing is, he's only like 26.
Right.
So he's not that old.
But again, in running back years, that's
a lot of carries.
Yeah, in running back years, that's 38, you know. But yeah, a lot of tread off the tires.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing with him is the yards per attempt just keep going down. Like when he first came in, 5.1 yards per attempt. It's pretty good. You can go win a lot of football games that way. Last year it was at 4. He's all the way down to 4. So it continues to kind of go the wrong way. I would be concerned about that from Ezekiel Elliott. Now, he's a big part of the passing game, too. And, you know, the Cowboys, with the defense they have, they're probably going to be throwing the ball a lot. Especially when you have Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, too. So I don't know from a sheer volume standpoint if he's going to get enough carries. I mean, he only had 244 carries last year in 15 games.
I don't see how he even comes close unless the defense is way better.
Exactly.
You know, and maybe it will be. I mean, it can't be.
Can't be a whole lot worse.
I mean, it's just, look, the Cowboys are, you know, if you're in Dallas and you're following that team closely, you're probably seeing a lot of reasons to think that it's just like here. I mean, the Titans, on a daily basis, we talk about it. So there's a lot of, oh, this guy, that guy, look at, you know, this scene in camp, whatever. Locally, there's reason to think that it'll be better. But around the league, oh, their defense sucks.
Well,
it's the same thing that we do with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea. They've done a lot of things to try to address it.
They have that. Well, in Pro Football Focus, throughout this question, I think last week, and it was with the Vikings, and it was a graphic they flashed up there of Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, and Justin Jefferson, and said, is there a better running back to receiver combo in the league? And a lot of people were like, well, yeah, the Titans, pretty good with Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry. But the other team that people kept throwing out there was the Cowboys with Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah. What about Chubb?
That was in there too.
You know, Beckham, Landry.
Landry, yep.
Drafted Beckham and Peoples-Jones, by the way.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay, it's good.
And Kareem Hunt. I went Browns.
Going heavy on the Browns.
Crazy.
Wow.
Browns crazy.
Did you draft Clowney? Get a couple carries this year?
You know, no individual, you know, deep defensive players.
That's probably good.
But I would have. I would have drafted Vic Beasley if he was available.
That's right. I'm sure you would have. We'll continue to take your thoughts in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll discuss the Tennessee Volunteers, a big matchup coming up on Saturday against Pitt. What should the Vols expect in this game at home coming up at Neyland Stadium on Saturday morning? We'll get to that coming up next. Right now, though, I got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And the NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbook is celebrating with 40-1 odds on any Week 1 game. And who doesn't want to win $200 on a $5 bet? This is no Hail Mary. It's that simple. New customers get 40-1 odds when you place your first wager. And FanDuel is sports betting made simple. The app is so easy to use. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. The Titans back on the field this week against Arizona. Maybe that's the way you want to go with the home team at Nissan Stadium. I would take a look at those Green Bay Packers traveling down to Jacksonville to take on New Orleans at that neutral site game as well. A couple of options on the table for you there, but you take it any way you want to take it. FanDuel Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app in America, and it's very easy to use, safe, and secure as well. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. They're always hooking you up with exclusive odds boosts, great promotions, and so much more. So just sign up with promo code ROB, and you can win $200 on a $5 bet. That promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wagering designated offer market. A maximum bonus of $200. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.